I believe in His only Son. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Remember that we believe, as Catholics, that any man of goodwill can take some time and figure out for himself, just by considering creation, that there must be a creator, that God exists. Yesterday's saint got started on his path that way. He was trained as a lawyer in 4th century France. Saint Hilary, by his own thought, was able to conclude that there must be a God, and God gave him the gift of faith. But I'm afraid that most people don't do that. I mean, stop and think things through logically when it comes to religion. Our tendency, rather, is to flee from the idea of God. Oh, we know He's there, but if we're upset about something, especially those who have fallen into sin, sometimes try to persuade themselves that there is no God, but really they know better. They can't forget about Him, because all of creation shouts out that God exists. The first man and woman, Adam and Eve, tried to hide themselves from God when they fell into sin. And the curious thing is that God, who knows all things and knew where they were, sort of went along with the game, a kind of a hide and go seek. And then He made that to be His rule throughout the ancient history and the old covenants, playing a game of hide and seek with man in the garden, and then also throughout history. When His turn came, God the Father hid His Son, born of a virgin, in Bethlehem's stable, although He had given us many hints by means of the Old Testament prophecies. And then, lest we should miss finding Him, He sends a star to lead the wise men, making Him manifest. Remember the meaning of Epiphany, or known to all the world as His own Son and God. Today we have in the Gospel the third miracle whereby this occurred, that at Mary's prayer, water is changed into wine. This gospel shows us as well what our Lord is going to do for us. That is to say, to make the water of our humanity be absorbed like the few little drops of water that go into the chalice at the offertory, to be absorbed into the wine of His divinity. But first, water and wine, water and blood rather, must come out of His own pierced side at Calvary. Why did God become a man? Well, it was to teach us some things that we could never figure out for ourselves by reason unaided. Why did God become a man? Why, it was to show us the way to get to heaven so we could be happy with God forever. But first, why did God become a man? To open up the gates of heaven, to remove the obstacle, the great stone that sin had rolled into the way. How could that be done? Atonement had to be made. Original sin, our own actual sin. God is offended by these sins. And like any other offended party, He has the right to set the terms for forgiveness. Almighty God, seeing our poor helpless state, could have said, I forgive you, and if you're sorry, well, you may certainly come home with me to heaven. But he did not. He decreed that a perfect atonement should be made in order for forgiveness to be given, because God is all perfect. Now, he knows we're not capable of doing that, so he sends his son to do it in our stead. In other words, you see, it's not just enough to say or to feel, I'm sorry. You've got to do something to show it and to make up. Now, we do that all the time. Say a husband who realizes, sometimes his wife makes it pretty clear to him, that he has offended her. And so instead of just saying sorry, he goes out of his way to do something extra. Maybe he makes a compliment, or he starts dinner, or he does something without being asked. Children might do that for their parents, too. We sense we need to do something to show our sorrow to obtain forgiveness. It makes perfect sense. In church, we speak about reparation a lot, don't we? Reparation for First Friday, the Sacred Heart. The communion of reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary on First Saturday. And next Saturday too, with the Rosary procession, Sunday with the Adoration, we want to make reparation for the national crime of abortion in the United States. Reparation, repair. The term seeks to repair the damage that is done. Done to whom? Why, to the person who has been offended. Remember this, the greater that person is, the greater is the offense. If two of our school children are rude to each other and fight, that's one thing. But if one of those children goes home and says something rude or disrespectful to his parents, why, that's something else again. Or if he is rude to the priest, why, that's something even worse. Why? Because the greater the dignity of the person who is offended, the greater the offense or the sin. Now, who's offended by our sin in the first place? Why, it's God, because he set the laws, and he made us, remember. We are his as slaves belong to an owner. God is offended in an infinite way by our sins. However could we make up for our sins? Why, how indeed? That's a good question to ask. The truth is this. This is the other part of the equation. The greater the person making reparation, the greater is the reparation itself. For example, imagine if next Sunday, January 22nd, the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, imagine if the whole Supreme Court, or better yet, if the President of the United States were to go on television on his knees and read an act of reparation for the national crime of abortion. What an effect that would have. What an impression that would make upon both God and man. God is all the time asking for reparation from important people. In the 17th century, God asked reparation from the King of France. He asked the great Sun King, Louis XIV, who had quite a bit of sin on his conscience as a man and as a king, to put the Sacred Heart's image on his national flag, on the armor of his troops, and to consecrate his country to Christ's loving heart. And he would not. And his grandson lost his head in the revolution. And the kings of France are no more. in the 20th century, Almighty God asked an important person, a group of them, to make reparation to his mother's Immaculate Heart. The Pope, this was in the 1920s and 30s, was to consecrate Russia, along with all the bishops of the world at the same time, to Mary's Immaculate Heart. And for some reason, the popes never did that, Pius the 11th, Pius the 12th. And then came the revolution of Vatican II, and the church lost her head, and it has been so ever since. God still is asking for reparation. He's asking you to make reparation. That must mean that you are an important person in the plan. And you know, as a matter of fact, that is true. You are a very important person in the plan. That's why I don't think we can afford to have a one of us who doesn't make reparation, especially next weekend. But I'll tell you this, if we all of us were to manage, imagine everyone at St. Gertrude, or imagine even the whole of our country led by our leaders to fall on our knees and to make reparation, it still would not be enough. Not for the crime of abortion, not for one mortal, not even for one venial sin. Why? Because the person offended by sin is infinite. That is his dignity. He's God. We can only offer him a limited, a finite atonement, because that's what we are, limited, finite beings. Do the math. It would never, ever work out. That is why God enters history coming to our aid. He makes the reparation. St. Paul writes, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. So God becomes a man in order to suffer, firstly, not to teach, not to give us an example, not to make us able to go to heaven the easy way, but to suffer. You can't make atonement without suffering. And God, by his nature, is, we call it, impassible. In other words, God cannot suffer. It is a contradiction in terms to think of God as suffering. And God can never contradict himself. What must he do then? Why then, God needs to take a human nature to become a man. And that he did, we know, in the immaculate womb of his virgin mother, our Blessed Lady. He received a share in our own human nature. He became a man so he could lay down that human nature in death on the cross. That's atonement or reparation in the highest possible degree. In order to, he does this, to achieve a true exchange that's just symbolized by the miracle in today's gospel. Water for wine, the bitter water of man for the best wine of God, our guilt for his goodness. This is why God's Son became a man, and I believe this. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.